Our Father and our God, into thy holy hands we now come to commit this time of teaching. May thy name be glorified, and thy truth, O Lord God, be exalted. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen. It is a tiny pink muscular organ covered with little tiny bumps called papillas. Well, if you guess the tongue, you are absolutely correct. As small as this organ is, it plays a very important role in the life of all of us. You know, without the tongue, none of us will be able to differentiate taste, because the taste buds in the mouth, able to differentiate sweet from sour, hot from cold. And it is through that we can enjoy food and meal. But most importantly, without the tongue, speech will be next to impossible. Though the flow of air comes through our vocal cords, but it is our tongue that actually shapes the words that we speak. And without the tongue, our communication will be completely incoherent, and we won't be able to communicate with one another. Not to talk about enjoying the simple things of life, because music comes through coherent voices, as well as movies, and the list goes on. But you know, as important as the tongue is to human interaction and survival, it is also extremely deadly. As Benjamin Franklin once said, man's tongue is soft and bone it does lack, yet a stroke of it may break a man's back. The tongue, my brothers and sisters, has tremendous power. With the tongue, we slander. The tongue can incite conflict and even destroy life. The Epistle of James paints a very graphic picture of the deadliness of our tongue when James wrote, "The tongue is a fire, a very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body, and it sets on fire the course of our lives, and is set on fire by hell." James chapter 3, verse 6. Even Solomon, writing years earlier before James, said, "Life or death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Now, while so much has been lavished upon us through salvation, we are now endowed by the Holy Spirit. We are a new creation in Christ. We have become the righteousness of God in Christ. We have been positioned in Christ, and the list goes on. There is, however, one thing that has not been lavished upon us through salvation. That is the ability to automatically bridle our tongues. In other words, our tongue is not automatically bridled or checked because we are saved, which means that God has left us with the sole responsibility of bridling our tongue and checking it. And I must confess to you this morning that this is indeed a very tough task. And the reason is this, because talking comes pretty naturally to every one of us. And some of us do talk more than others. Now, one of the ways which I believe we can bridle our tongue is by practicing a discipline that I believe is rarely mentioned. And it's simply called the discipline of silence. And this morning, that's what I want to unveil to you. I want us to explore this very powerful spiritual discipline. Now, I am sure that all of you are familiar with other spiritual disciplines that we find in the Bible. Prayer, fasting, the study of God's word, meditation. And you might wonder to yourself, say, wait a minute, Pastor Wally, what exactly is the discipline of silence? You know, what does it mean? And do you really have that in the Bible? Well, slow your roll right there. I'm going to take you one by one here. Let's begin by asking, you know, what exactly does this discipline of silence, what does it mean? Simply defined, it is the voluntary and temporary abstinence from speaking so as to achieve a goal. Now, let me repeat that definition again. It is the voluntary and temporary abstinence from speaking so as to achieve a goal. There are two key words I want you to focus on that definition. The word voluntary and the word abstinence. Now, the discipline of silence is never by coercion. In other words, your mouth is not sealed shut with a tape that you can't speak. Neither is someone threatening you to be quiet unless you're going to be punished, so you're forced to be quiet. On the contrary, the discipline of silence is a choice. Is a choice you make. And what is this choice? Is the choice to abstain from talking. And again, it's a very powerful spiritual discipline to be able to put in check your tongue so that you don't communicate, but you reflect on certain things, or you reserve that comment for another proper time. But it's always for a specific goal, and it's always temporary. Now, let's look at scripture now to begin to discern whether this is in scripture. Our Lord Jesus Christ greatly exemplified what it means to have a discipline of silence, or to display a discipline of silence. Now, John chapter 8, we find the narrative of the woman that was caught in adultery. You all remember that story. They brought the woman to the Lord Jesus and said, this woman is caught in the very act of it. And they said, listen, the law of Moses says such a woman must be stoned. Lord, what do you say? Trying to test the Lord Jesus. And we're told that the Lord Jesus said, absolutely nothing. Discipline of silence. And you know, silence at times is very uncomfortable. And because of that, they kept pressing him. Then the Lord Jesus looked up and said this profound word. He said, he who has no sin to cast the first stone. And he stooped down again and began to write, discipline of silence. And he spoke nothing. Then when he raised up his head, he said, woman, where are your accusers? He said, there's no one. Then he was able to tell the woman, go your way and sin no more. But I want you to pay attention to that narrative. Very important. The Lord Jesus voluntarily restrained himself or practiced the abstinence of speaking in order to achieve a goal. And the goal was for those persons to see themselves in the mirror and also be able to understand what the Lord is trying to communicate without speaking. This is where we ought to understand that silence is golden. Also, when you begin to look at the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see also a powerful example of the discipline of silence. You know, on a number of occasions, when the Lord Jesus was actually brought before Pontius Pilate, and he began to question the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus answered a few questions, but majority of the time he was silent. And when Pontius Pilate learned that the Lord Jesus belonged to the jurisdiction of Herod, and he sent him to Herod, since Herod was in Jerusalem during that time. We're told that this is what the scripture says, Luke chapter 23, verse 8 and 9. It said, Herod was very glad when he saw Jesus, for he had wanted to see him for a long time, but because he had been hearing about him and was hoping to see some signs performed by him, and he questioned him at some length, but he answered him nothing. Again, I want you to pay attention to that. The Lord Jesus answered Herod nothing. This is a perfect example of the discipline of silence. The Lord Jesus could have vehemently defended himself. He could have said, you know, I've been unfairly treated. This is a miscarriage of justice. And he could have fought for his right, but we're told that he never spoke a word. The prophet Isaiah, writing 700 years before this event, would prophesy about this same event, about the life of the Lord Jesus. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. Isaiah would write that he was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before our shearers, so he did not open his mouth. The discipline of silence. Then let's look at the nature of God. You know, I believe one of the overlooked attribute of God is his perfection of silence. Wait a minute, Pastor Wally, what does that mean? The perfection of silence. You know, when you begin to look at the nature of God, we know that, yes, God spoke through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he was able to speak through men who composed his word for us to see. And today we have the canon of scripture. But again, I want you to watch the nature of God, even in the canon of scripture. While God does speak through pastors and through teaching, but you can see the silence of God. You know, God could have every day woke up and said, oh, how ungrateful are you humans, and it will show his anger. But then heaven is silent. My brothers and sisters, I like to tender to you that silence of God is just indicative of God's voluntary restraint of himself. But again, I need to tender to you this morning that God, while he's long-suffering, is not permanently suffering. One day, that silence will be broken when the heavens will open and our Savior will reveal himself. Now, I know that we all live in a culture where many of us don't want to be silenced, but we want our voices heard. And there is really nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong in you speaking up for yourself. And even in the church, at times, you know, people ain't silent in the church. Because I've been in this work of pastoring for over a few decades now. And I've been in leadership meetings where spiritual leaders get into these shouting matches with one another. And that's why I believe, you know, developing this discipline of silence, it's always tough, but it's achievable. If you're willing to put in the work that is required, you can actually be able to develop this powerful discipline and maintain it. So this morning, I want to unveil to you how to get mastery over your tongue, how to actually live a life that you can restrain your tongue in such a way that you can practice this very powerful discipline. And I truly believe God is going to be glorified. And this is what's going to bring me to this very powerful question. You know, how can I develop this rare discipline of silence? Let me unveil it to you this morning, everybody. I believe to develop this very rare discipline of silence, we have to, first of all, strive to perfect one fruit of the Spirit, and that's called self-control. Again, I want you to write this down. You know, you have to strive to perfect one fruit of the Spirit called self-control. Now, you know, while there are several things that often triggers us to speak, there are several things that prompts us to speak. But I believe on the apex of all those things are actually two specific things. Watch what I'm saying this morning. And those are our emotions and our impulses. Let me go by work it out. You know, when you are angry, your emotions are usually stirred up. And then you, for those that can hold back, you lash out. You speak. When you are frustrated, your emotions are often stirred up. And guess what? People lash out. When you feel unjustly treated, your emotions are often stirred up. And guess what people do? They lash out. What about our impulses? At times, we see things that does not concern us. Instead of staying in our lane, as the saying goes, our impulse kind of kicks in. And guess what we do? We try to become like Dr. Phil. We try to counsel people and tell them what they need to do. And most of those things are very presumptuous on our end. But it's because our impulse believe that we need to say something. So you can see that our emotions, our impulses, are often the impetus behind most of what we say. And it then follows that to develop this discipline of silence, the first thing you and I have to nail down is self-control. What exactly then is this self-control? It is the ability to gain mastery over one's emotions, impulses, and desires. Again, watch what I'm saying. The ability to gain mastery over one's emotions, impulses, and desires. Now, I'm going to give you one technique this morning that I truly can help you to gain mastery, especially over your emotions when we talk about self-control. You know, when it comes to situation that kind of triggers frustration or triggers anger, one of the best way to kind of settle your emotion is by taking a deep breath, is by breathing. You know, do you realize that when you become stressed, your brain releases a chemical that is probably called cortisol. That's probably what it's called. It's called the stress hormone. And when your brain kind of releases this chemical, you know, by taking a deep breath, your heart rate slows and more oxygen is able to enter your bloodstream and ultimately communicate to your brain to relax. It's a scientific fact. Let's flip it on the other side. Taking mastery over your impulses. You know, this is what I have developed over time. In order to take mastery over my impulse, what I've developed is what I call a mental stand-back approach. Watch what I just said. A mental stand-back approach. What does that mean? I always use this technique in my own end when I'm dealing with impulsive situation to say, listen, stand back. And wait. Stand back and be patient. Stand back. But it's going to be a mental thing because all your emotions are triggered. Everything in terms of impulses becomes activated. But you got to remind yourself, stand back. Because by waiting, you will be able to see clearly the things that you don't see initially. You will become more self-aware by waiting, and that will give you mastery over your impulse. And this morning, I truly believe by gaining mastery over our emotion, impulse, or desire, we are able to control 90% at the eye peak of everything that comes out of the mouth. In other words, we are able to put in check about 90% of our communication because we have perfected what I call this fruit of the Spirit called self-control. The second thing this morning I want you to understand is this. In order to perfect or to gain mastery and implement this discipline of silence, you have to become an active listener. An active listener. James chapter 1 verse 19. Watch what James will say. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear. Watch what James is saying. Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. But let me begin. James did not say, let everyone be slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to hear. No, he begins first with the word quick to hear. I believe what James is trying to communicate here is the importance of being an active listener. Now, one thing I believe is true of many, if not most of us, is that we're not good listeners. And you don't have to say amen to that because I can see some of your faces, you're not very good listeners. You know, some of us believe we are, but I can tell you, you're really not. Why would you say that, Pastor Wally? Because, watch this, listening is just not hearing. Rather, it is seeking to understand what the other person is saying. You get what I'm saying this morning? The listening is just not you hearing me. You know, you can drive in your vehicle and hear music. And some of us hear music. We hear the verb. We hear all that's going on, but we don't listen and try to understand the lyrics. And usually the true power is in the lyrics. And the same thing happens in many communication. I've sat in my office when I've counseled couples, and I can see in their demeanor when one is speaking. The other is just not listening. He or she is hearing, but they're not listening. Because when you listen is when you are able to put in place the discipline of silence. Because the process of trying to understand is when you are now silent enough to now say, let me understand what you are saying. So in order to develop the discipline of silence, you must be an active listener. You must let others speak, and you try to be patient and to try to listen to what they're saying. And believe me, at times some people don't make no sense, but you still give them the opportunity to speak and you listen. And one thing I've discovered over the years is this. Some people tend to solve their problems by just talking it without you responding. I've been in situations where some have just vented to me about so many things, and I was just silent. And they vented and they vented. Before you knew it, they came to the conclusion of their problem. And all I just said to them, did you hear what you just said? And they say, yeah, Pastor, I think I know what to do now. Because that is the power of the discipline of silence. You listen, you become an active listener. And when you become an active listener, you become able to control your own conversation, but to try to understand what the other person is trying to say. There's a final point this morning I want to leave with you before I leave. You know, you have to learn to ponder your words before you say it. The third way to develop this discipline of silence, not only an active listener, not only do you master your self-control and you master your emotion and your impulses, but you ponder your words. You know, what does it mean to ponder one word? That means you got to kind of filter your thought through the filter of the Holy Spirit. You got to filter your thoughts, your whatever you're conceiving in your mind, through the filter of the Holy Spirit. You know, that process of filtering is when you are able now to hold your mouth and check your conversation and kind of walk your words in and ensure that what I'm about to say is going to edify. And in case you don't know it, when you really look at the Word of God, the communication we should have should be that which is edifying, which give grace to the hearer. That is the goal of our communication. But that can only come when you are not impulsive in responding, but you take your time to ponder. And listen, you are not on a timer that you got to say, okay, I got to answer. So no, you say, can you give me a minute to think this through? Can you give me time to reflect on this? Or even in that conversation, you just be quiet for a minute to kind of think through what is being asked of you, or to think through what you're going to say. That is extremely powerful, because you're now able to hold yourself and check your conversation and be able to know that I'm going to say appropriate words, grace that's going to bring grace to the hearer, that is going to bless somebody, that is going to cause somebody to draw closer to Christ, that is going to pull them closer to your love. That is your goal as a believer. That is why those discipline, the discipline of silence, is extremely important, and it's developed when you and I are able to ponder. I like how Solomon puts this. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27. It said, he will restrain his words as knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Again, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28. It said, even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. And when he closes lips, is considered prudent. Proverbs 29:20. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. This morning, loved ones, I believe that you and I can take mastery over our tongue. I believe that you and I can take mastery over our communication, that we can glorify God and practice this rare discipline of silence, that we hold back so that ultimately God will be glorified in our communication. This morning I pray that each one of us will know how to zip it, so that the name of Jesus can be glorified. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we do honor and give thanks to Thee. Holy Father, we now pray that Thou will bless this word that has been spoken. May it bring grace to the hearer, but also edification to each one of our souls. And Holy Father, teach us this morning how to speak appropriate words in seasons, so that we can be able to honor and glorify Thy name. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.